Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of what it means to have eternal life in us. In fact, we're going to bring it to a close this week. We're reviewing some things, we're restating some things, we're pulling some things together that we've already said, and we're going to add some new information and bring it to a good conclusion point. We are born of God through the new birth. When we put faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God, the Holy Spirit, unites us to the life in Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That phrase, whosoever believeth in him, in the Greek is literally believeth into him. You were not aware what was happening, but when you believed on Jesus as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit united you, your spirit, your innermost being, to the life that's in Jesus. You were united to him as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, and now you partake of his life. There is something in you that was not in you before you became a Christian. In you now is the uncreated eternal life in God himself. And that life has produced a tremendous transformation in your spirit. You went from dead to alive. You went from sinner to son or daughter. You went from unholy to holy. You went from unrighteous to righteous. And that life in your spirit can potentially affect your mind, your emotions, and your body. Because we're born of God, we now have in us an unceasing source of life to continually enable us to walk as Jesus walked. The standard for Christian living is living like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, if any man says he abides in Christ, he ought to walk even as Jesus walked. Well, Jesus is in us by his life through that union relationship. It's a living, vital, organic union. It's real. It's real. It's real. If somehow we could turn a spiritual x-ray machine onto you, you would see that there's something in you that wasn't in you before. The very life and nature, substance and being of God himself. You're born of him. You're born of him. Jesus is in us by his life to produce fruit or outward evidence of the life within. Whatever is in that life is in you and me because his life is in you and me. And it can potentially show up outwardly. See, I said a moment ago, you underwent a tremendous transformation from unholy, unrighteous to holy and righteous. How did that happen? Well, by nature, before you were born again, you were unholy and unrighteous, a child of the devil, an object of God's wrath. But when eternal life came in, it drove out that death, that unrighteousness, that unholiness, and produced a transformation in you, so much so that the Bible calls you a new creature. Whatever is in that life is in you now because that life's in you, and there's holiness in that life, there's righteousness in that life. And that life, Jesus in you by his life. See, I said a few weeks ago, we talk about how we ask Jesus into our heart. Actually, that phrase is nowhere in the scripture. I'm not knocking that necessarily, but it has really watered down what it means to be a Christian. What does it even mean to have Jesus in your heart? Is there a little statue in there? Is there a little picture? No. You have the life that Jesus has in him, in you now. You're a branch of the vine. You're in union with him. You're a particular member of his body. He's the head, you're the body. Union relationship. He is in you by his life as a continual, unceasing source of life to enable us to walk as he walked. He's in us by his life to produce fruit or outward evidence of the life within. Whatever is in that life is in you because his life is in you, and it can potentially show up in your mind, your emotions, and your body. But, and we've emphasized this point quite a bit over the past several weeks, God, in his sovereignty, has chosen to work in our lives by his grace through our faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Everything that God gives to us comes by his grace through our faith. Can God move apart from our faith? Of course he can. And sometimes he does. But that's according to his discretion. And that's not the normative way he works in our lives. He works in our lives by his grace through our faith. See, God's strength is in every single Christian because we're all born of him. But he will not automatically be strength to us unless we believe him to be. So you have to know he is your strength, and you have to believe he is your strength before you experience him as your strength. But when we believe God's word that we in our spirit are strong, righteous, patient, loving, healed, God, by his life in us, does the work of building that reality into our soul and body. God's part is to be our life or our empowering ability. Our part is to believe that he is our life or our empowering ability. God's life in us, because of our union with Christ, will do what it's supposed to do if we believe it. Now, over the past several weeks, we've said a lot about Paul because he had outward evidence of the life within him. He had outward demonstration of the life of God within him. And we talked a lot about Galatians 2:20, where he said, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That verse tells us that Paul knew he was united to Christ and that Jesus was in him by his life. That verse tells us that Paul lived by faith in the Son of God, meaning he expected Jesus to be in him and through him all he had promised and provided. In a lengthy discussion of the many trials he faced in his life, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul stated that in all of them, the life of God was demonstrated in and through him. And in that context, Paul made the statement that we walk by faith and not by sight. See, that's, what is that? Well, that's what I said at the start of the broadcast. God's life in us shows up on the outside when we walk by faith and not by sight. To experience outwardly the effects of the inward changes in our spirit, or to bear fruit or outward evidence of the life within, we must learn to walk by faith. What is faith? It's not sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight, Paul said. What's faith? It's not sight. Whatever it is, it's not sight. You see, there's more to reality than what we see. There is an invisible realm, the realm of God and his kingdom of full power and provision. Part of our own makeup is invisible, the inward man. If I were to die right now, the man on the inside or the woman on the inside would be separated from my physical body. I'd pass out of my physical body. But if you and I were in the room together, you would not be able to see me unless God, through a special action, permitted it. But I'm real. I'm just as real in my body as out of my body, according to the scripture. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But the point for our discussion is there's more to reality than what we can see with our eyes. Invisible doesn't mean not real. It simply means we can't perceive it with our five physical senses, with sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. One of the reasons God has given us the Bible is to reveal himself, he's invisible, and to reveal this invisible realm to us. See, to walk by faith and not by sight means to put what God says about what we can't see, but is real, above what we can see. Faith doesn't deny what it sees or feels. Faith recognizes that there is more to reality than what it sees and feels. Faith agrees with what God says about reality, despite how it looks or feels. Faith recognizes that what it sees and feels is temporary and subject to change by the power of God. See, apart from the Word of God, we are completely dependent on our physical senses, sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. We get constant input from our physical senses. I mean, you don't have to do anything. Just sit there and you can hear stuff, smell stuff, see stuff, touch stuff. This information stimulates spontaneous responses in us called emotions. So we're constantly feeling stuff and seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling stuff. Sometimes the input from our senses and our emotions agrees with God. But sometimes it doesn't. But neither our senses or our emotions have access to all the facts about reality in any situation because they cannot perceive the unseen realm. Our view of reality has to be changed so that we see things the way they really are according to God. That's what renewing the mind is all about. See, most of us walk by sight and we don't realize it. That's one reason we don't have a lot of outward evidence of the life within, even though it's really there. It's because we walk by sight and not by faith. To walk by sight means you base what you believe and how you act on what you see and feel. In other words, we believe something because we see it and feel it. But faith is exactly the opposite. Faith believes because God says it, despite what it sees and feels. Now, it's an effort to get to the point where you believe what God says above what you see and feel, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the week. But if you're going to produce fruit, we made this point last week, you can't make it happen. All you can do is believe that God in you is your strength, your peace, your joy, and He brings the results. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.